Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servants, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
A charge. Hallelujah. There's that which is called also admonishment. Hallelujah. So this morning I'm here for a specific set of people, like myself, specific set of people, and like you know me, sometimes I have difficulty giving title to messages. I don't know if it's general, but it's peculiar about me. Hallelujah. So I have here, the title of this morning is Be Strong in the Lord, or you call it a strong Christian. Be strong in the Lord, or you call it a strong Christian. Ephesians chapter 6. That's going to be where I'm reading from this morning. Ephesians chapter 6. And verse 10. Ephesians 6. We'll be reading a lot of scriptures, so I need media to please be very fast with me. I have, sometimes my shortcut is I usually, as I'm writing, I also write my scriptures so that, yes, I don't wait. Hallelujah. Instead of just flipping, there are some I would dictate, but I love to write out my scriptures, except when I have like 5 to 10 verses, I don't write that. But if I have like 2-3 verses, I just do myself well to just write it down so that I don't break the flow. So we'll read together. Yeah, the emphasis is on the A part. It says, want to go? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10. I have different translations here. It says, if you faint, first translation, English Standard Version, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. If thou faint, this is KJV, it says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. NIV says, if you falter in a time of trouble, who has had a time of trouble? Like me. Hallelujah. Who has had encounter with the days of adversity? It is not will they come, it is when will they come. It is not a question of if, it is a question of when. Hallelujah. So if anybody preaches a gospel to you and tells you that Christianity is full, yeah, there are blessings in Christianity, but that you will not face the day of adversity, the person is just, they play, right? Right? The person is just giving you bitter pills wrapped with ice cream. And you know the problem with that? You still get to the bitter pill and it will turn you, it will run your, it will run belly. So NIV says, if you falter in a time of trouble, how small is your strength? I don't know this translation, but it says, if you show yourself lacking courage on the day of distress, your strength is meager. CSB. It says, if you do nothing in a difficult time. Have you been in that situation before that you are faced with difficulty and you don't even know what to do? You are so overwhelmed that you can't think straight anymore. People are asking you, so what will you do? Like, I don't even know. It says, if you do nothing in a difficult time, your strength is limited. So we are seeing small, meager, limited. NLT says, if you fall under pressure. I've fallen under pressure before. I don't know. Who has fallen under pressure before? Plenty. It says, your strength is too small. It didn't just say small. It says, too small. LSB, Legacy Standard Bible. It says, if you are slack in the day of distress, your strength is limited. NASB says, if you are slack in the day of distress, your strength is in trouble. So this brings us to why we must increase in strength. Hallelujah. This brings us to why we must increase in strength. Another translation of this, you go back to Ephesians 6, chapter 6 and verse 10. Amplified says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. And you know, Amplified has a way of expounding things, amplifying it. So we put in brackets. Draw your strength from him and be empowered through your union with him. You know, other translations did not put this one. Please give me the KJV. You see, come back. We'll be playing between the two, but we'll see, come back. KJV says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. You know, at times when we hear be strong in the Lord, number one thing that comes to mind is that you think is your physical strength, scripture is referring to. And because our environment has so much taught us, especially the boys, the boy child, man up. You tell boys, don't cry. But is it true? I have men here now. You say, Yorubas have different things. Okoye Shojo. You be, I think people from the Niger Delta will tell you, na man you be. Hallelujah. Be strong in the Lord is not talking about your physical strength. It's not something you go to eye fitness for. It's not something you go to the gym and you are building six packs for. Hallelujah. That's number one thing I need to establish this morning. Number two, be strong in the Lord is not talking about willpower. When I see Sister Rolake, we'll just shake hands. We'll do it. I'm using Sister Rolake because I told myself I want to use. Pastor has already created a template for us. So just take this name. Like, I'm going to see Rolake today. I'm going to visit Rolake in her house. Or Rolake is coming to visit me. When she comes, nothing will happen. We'll just pray a lot. They play. That is willpower talking. Yeah? That is what? That is willpower. That I will not tell lie. That lie is not coming from the strength that the Lord himself is bringing, supplying to you. It's just coming from your head. So, be strong in the Lord is not willpower. Number one, is not your physical power. Number two, is that it's not willpower. And how do you access this strength? He said, be strong in the Lord. Go back to Amplified. Amplified now shows us the channel or the technology through which we can access this strength. He says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Draw your strength from him and be empowered through him, through your union with him. Here he was talking to believers. So. Hallelujah. Because you see, it says union. Who has union? Union means who? It means what? People who already have an established relationship with the Lord. He says, draw your strength from him and be empowered through your union with him and in the power of his boundless might. So it's not really talking, he's not talking about you. You are just the benefactor. Hallelujah. Praise the living Jesus. So as we seek the Lord, the Lord's great strength, we are to be seeking him. So the technology here is that the more, you know, when we pray the prayer, Lord, I need strength, Lord, I need strength, we think it's just something that will just come, blah. Yeah, there are times that it comes by impartation, but it's giving us the framework here. It says it's as we unionize with the Lord, as we interact with the Lord, that is when strength is communicated. That is when strength is communicated. As we interact, as we fellowship, as we talk with the Lord, that is when strength is communicated. Hallelujah. I need to run this morning. I want to read something I got somewhere while reading. I'll come back to that. Hallelujah. So to be strong, what does it mean to be strong in the Lord? What does it mean to be strong in the Lord? I think I have about about five, but let me just stop at these two because I'm working with time. Number one, to be strong in the Lord means to have a deeper Christian life or to have deep roots in the Lord. To be strong in the Lord, number one, is to have a deeper Christian life. I've told us what to be strong in the Lord is not. To be strong in the Lord is not talking about your willpower, number one. Number two, is not talking about your physical strength. In fact, it's not even talking about your mental acumen. Hallelujah. He's not talking about your mental. He's not talking about what you went to Harvard to study. What you went to Yale, to study. That's not what he's talking about. So to be strong in the Lord is to develop a deeper Christian life or to have a deeper root in the Lord. Luke chapter 8 and verse 13. And this Luke chapter 8 verse 13 is going to tell us a kind of believer in the church. Luke chapter 8 and verse 13. It says, they on the rock are they. Do we have it on the screen? Okay, let's read together. Now, don't give me Amplified this time. Give me King James. King James. It says, they on the rock are they which, when they hear, that means they come to church. They attend Bible study. They attend different conferences. They go from one camp meeting to another camp meeting. They are with their jotter. It says, when they hear, they receive the word with joy. Were you blessed this morning? Yes. Oh, let's stand up. Hallelujah. Let's start clapping and all of that. They are happy. They are excited that they've received the word. Ah, man of God, your word was so on point this morning. Your word was just the word I needed this morning. With joy, and you can see the enthusiasm. You can see the joy, the palpable joy in their faces. It says, and this has no roots. And how do we know that it has no roots? Can we read the last part together? Which for a while they believe, and in time of temptation, they fall away. So there's going to be testing. There will be time of adversity. Hallelujah. There will be what? There will be testing. There will be time of adversity. A time of testing will surely come for every believer. Now, it says, receive the word with joy, and these have no root. These are people who know scriptures, but they have no personal experience with God's word. Hallelujah. What they carry about is what my pastor said. And there's nothing bad or wrong with what my pastor said. But do you also have the understanding that your pastor has? Haven't you seen, I've seen kids that they will say, in the name of my pastor, or in the name, like, the devil will carry you, he will slam you to the ground again and again. Because you have no stature like your pastor. So to be strong in the Lord is to have a deeper Christian life, is to have personal experience. These are people who hear God. Hallelujah. These are people who have personal experience with God. They have personal experience with God's word. These are people who have convictions of their own. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shallow Christians don't have their own personal conviction. Now, wherever Bele is. Hallelujah. Shallow Christians. Now, if they say the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues, is it? They're speaking in tongues. Tomorrow, if another minister comes and says, it's not by speaking in tongues, you say, yes, it's not by speaking in tongues. What exactly do you know? Hallelujah. So to be a strong Christian, to be strong in the Lord is to develop a deeper Christian life is to have conviction of your own. You don't follow the crowd. They cannot be easily persuaded by fables. Hallelujah. They cannot be easily what? Persuaded by fables. These are people with deeper roots. These are people that when they are offended in the church, their membership and commitment is not in question. You know, there are persons that something, there's an altercation in church, or I know they go to that church again, you know. Have you seen people like that? They are offended. Ah, it means you are not deep. Your membership is now unquestionable. Ah. You need strength. Hallelujah. You need what? Strength. Another set of people. These are people that whatever happens, you know, men of God fall into different scandals and all of that, but they still remain solid. You know, like, eh, Pastor Benga, me, I know they come again, you know. Eh? Have you seen believers that's when they actually begin to, they draw back, they withdraw. Ah, you are not a deeper Christian. Because if you are a deeper Christian, you will know that there will be a time of testing. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14 says, we will no longer be infants or children. What? They are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. My wife was telling me, she was sharing one thing that she heard of, or maybe she experienced at work recently. You know, like every Friday, most organizations, Friday, they will pray, they will call the Christian to pray, and they will call the Muslim to pray. And this is how you know that a lot of believers are actually shallow. So the brother who came forward to lead prayers read a scripture, explained the prayer points. He started praying in English, I believe, and he got to a point, he was speaking in tongues. And he ended that first prayer. He repeated that thing for like 2-3 times. And his time was off. He left. The Muslim came, they did their own. These two believers went back to their seat, and they are actually neighbors. He was just speaking in tongues. Shakalababa. They actually said, the tongue, they mentioned the tongue of that guy. That they don't believe in tongue. Oh. They don't believe in, how can you be speaking in tongues and all of that? Like, this conversation was not, it was not unbeliever. It was not the unbeliever amidst them that said it. Oh. It was the Christians, people who, oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah. They were the ones castigating the brother. How can you be praying in tongues? How can you be this? How can you be that? How can you be doing this and all of that? Hallelujah. Number two. What's number one? To have a deeper Christian walk or Christian life or deep root in the Lord. You are not blown away by every wind of doctrine. You are not like Aaron. When Moses is around, oh, he's God who brought us out of Egypt. When Moses is not around, he's the golden calf. You know that those were two a kind of believer. Moses is around. Oh, the Lord Jehovah, the Lord God Almighty. He was the one who brought us out of the land of Egypt by his strength. The moment Moses went up to go and worship, they didn't see Moses again. The doctrine, the teaching changed. You don't they shake. Oh yeah, gather your earrings. Gather your bangles. What else are made with gold? Gather your rings. Gather everything. And they started to make a calf. Hallelujah. All right, number two. To be a strong Christian is to become steadfast. To be a strong Christian is to what? To become steadfast. I interchange the word. I said is to become fast standing or fasted. To stand fast. To stand fast And steadfast here, let me read the scripture first. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always. How many times? Always abounding in the work of the Lord. But my emphasis now is, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, he was talking to believers, just like I'm speaking. He said, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. To be steadfast means you have the ability to stay on course, to stay in the right direction. Very synonymous to the first one. You have the ability to stay on course. You have the ability, you possess the ability to stay in the right, not the wrong direction, no, the right direction. It also means you have the ability to come back to the right path when you have strayed away. Hallelujah. Do you know the reason why sailors use compass? The word steadfast was coined from the marine environment. A sailor leaves point A, is going to point B. In those days, when they don't have a radio to speak back, to communicate. So, in that ship, if it will take them 10 days, they will pack, because they cannot pack more than they need. They work with the weight, the capacity of the ship. So, they will pack the food that will be enough for that 10 days. They will pack food that will be, they will pack water. Oh, it's 12 gallons of water they will drink in one day. They will pack that. It's 10 gallon they will use. Another 10 gallon they will use to bait per day. They will do all of that calculation. I watch these big ships and this giant yacht. They if you go to their kitchen, you will see that everything. And those people, they don't just work with, we go to the market, we buy. They work with shelf life. They work with shelf life of every product. They know when the product is going to expire. Because they know that if they run out of supply, there's no place on the sea to buy. So they gather everything they need is on board with them. So you see that if a sailor, having prepared all of these things, calculated everything he would need, he now decides to say, that is no longer the true north. Let me go like this. It means that before they arrive, it's either he comes back to this point and retraces his step, or he comes back to this point and he goes back. In the midst of doing all of that, they will surely run short of supply. Hallelujah. So to be a strong Christian is to remain steadfast. Is that you believe in faith, you believe in death, burial, resurrection of Jesus, and the coming back of Christ. It's not like you believe, then all of a sudden you now say, no, Christ is not coming back. Eh? That means you are not steadfast. You are not, another word is that you are consistent. Hallelujah. You are consistent. Number three, the same scripture, leave it there. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Can we echo together? Unmovable. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23. It says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of what? The gospel. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. The word here, it says, if you continue. So it's saying that to become unmovable is that you continue in the faith which you have been preached, which has been preached to you. You are settled. Synonymous to the second one too. You are not moved. You are not bent. You are not like a plant in greenhouse. You know the kinds of plant they plant in, those kind of things they have in greenhouse, they can't withstand wind. Huh? Do we know that? They can't withstand wind. That's why in a greenhouse you see that they have nets. In fact, especially I think in Israel, where I think they are the number one rated in terms of agriculture also. You will see them, they practice a lot of this greenhouse thing. And they have wind. You know, they have plenty of deserts. Everything. So you are not like somebody who cannot withstand wind, because wind will surely come. Hallelujah. So he says, be unmovable. To be a strong Christian or to be strong in the Lord is that you are unmovable. You don't believe in Jesus today and you say, actually, my mom called me from the village. And they said I should go to Ojota Park. And that they sent something for me. And what exactly is this something they sent? It's one keg, 1 5-liter keg like that. And lo and behold, it's the concussion from Baba, from the village. Pastor, I believe in the Lord, but, you know, like we can, these two things, we are looking for a child. We are just interested in the solution. When you are too solution-minded, you will lose your gaze of Christ. And because people who are in such states, they don't mind where it comes from. Anywhere, belay face. Will it work? Are you sure? If forget that one, Baba or no Baba. I knew we are talking about. They just move. It means you are not strong. It doesn't matter. God will forgive us. We can do this thing and nobody will know. But you were the one who said, you preached from God's word and said, forget, leave that one. That one, no matter. Now, let's do it. And hallelujah. So, unmovable. And these are things. I have a list of things that can move a believer. List of things that can move a believer. Number one, affliction can move a believer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3, it says that no man be moved by these afflictions. Affliction has the capacity to sweep you, to make you fall. Uncle Pat, it has the capacity, affliction, it has the capacity to make a man fall. Number two, that something that can move a believer, make a believer strength become shaky. Bitterness. And I have here, I said, do not let bitterness move you away from God. And actually, bitterness is an advanced form of offense. Bitterness is actually accumulation. Offense, my interpretation of it, offense is just one thing, like, I just kick your leg now. But you see, bitterness is higher version. Is that I've kicked your leg, several times, and you are bottling up. You are just waiting for who is going to poke that balloon. People will be like, we never did. Is that the person has been accumulating? Scripture speaking, in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15, it says, looking diligently. That is the posture. It says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. So it means that bitterness has the ability to make a man fail the eligibility to receive the grace of God. What's the next thing? What's the next thing? Lest any root. Root is what makes plants to stand. So it means that anger has been standing there for a while. It says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Sometimes people will say, I've been praying. I've been fasting. I've been doing this. I've been doing that. But we fail to also ask ourselves the question, are you abhorring bitterness? Because from this scripture we can see, it says many. You know what it means to be defiled? Who knows what it means to be defiled? Contaminated, corrupted. What else? What other word can we take? Is that you are about to encounter a major breakthrough and different files. You know, in the university those days, I think universities still do it. You buy file with that tag. You go to photocopying stand. You put everything. They will gather everything. That's a file. All the list of students in Agri Economics and 200 level, they will have that. To be defiled means that in the list of 40, 50 people in that your class, they just remove your own. Huh? And you know this defile is also a military term. It's a military term. When they say file up, it means that the line is straight. Any moment you do like this and your sergeant or the head of your commander sees you, it means you have been defiled. You are no longer in alignment. That is what it means. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the living Jesus. Says, do not be moved. Number, another thing that can move your circumstances. Your circumstances has the power to move you. If you allow it, your circumstances has the power to move you. You know, Pastor said something, I think it was Wednesday. He said, you know some believers when they have money, that's when they smile. Who remember that statement? He said, when they don't have money, you just see them, they are just frowning and they are just angry and they are just, you know, snapping at everybody and nagging and doing all sorts of things, different kinds of tantrum. Hallelujah. But scripture says, finally, my brethren, remain steadfast, become what? Unmovable. Unmovable. And I see the Lord increasing your strength today. The last fall will be your last. You will stand strong in the day of adversity. I have here 6 reasons why you must strengthen yourself. Number one, you must strengthen yourself so that you can overcome the wicked one. Somebody is asking a question, why do I need to strengthen myself? You must strengthen yourself to be able to overcome the wicked one. But Christ has overcome. He has done everything for us and all of that. Yes. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 14 says, I have written unto you, fathers, 1 John 2:14. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are what? Can we see it on the screen? Because you are what? You are strong. And this is premise, this strength that you have. He says, and the word of God does what? Abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Strength is what makes you an overcomer. And he says here, the word of God abides in you. So it means that it is not just you with your physical muscle. It's not just you with your willpower. It is that you have the word of God. The word of God abides in you. It's in excess. When the devil comes and pokes you, you have the word of God to respond. Not just by quoting scripture, but this has become your own personal reality. You have fellowship with that scripture that so much it has become part of you. It says, and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. You need strength to be able to overcome the wicked one. But pastor says this, a part-time Christian cannot fight a 24/7 enemy. A Sunday, the only time you open the word of God, the only time you hear about the word of God is just Sunday. After Sunday, you close and you are expecting to fight an enemy. Do you know why Kenyans win the race every time? Those guys they are every day they are riazing. Now you now pick me in Nigeria that I do 1 hour now, I'm panting. That 1 hour is just chicken, is just appetizer for that Kenyan guy. So you need strength to be able to overcome the wicked one. Hallelujah. I have scripture here, but because of time, I'm running. You need strength. Number two reason why you need to have strength. You need to have strength because the devil is going to strike again. You know, we call that scripture. Affliction shall not arise the second time. Yes, it is true. But if you are weak, the devil will strike again and again and again. You need strength. 1 Kings chapter 20 and verse 20. Give me 1 Kings 20, 20 to 22. I don't have that here. I need you to help me, please. Very fast. 1 Kings 20. He says, and they slew everyone, his man, and the Syrians fled, and Israel pursued them, and Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, escaped. Don't allow devil escape. He says, and the king of Syria escaped on a horse with the horsemen. Verse 21. He says, and the king of Israel went out and smote the horses and chariot and slew the Syrians with a great slaughter. You know, if you have achieved this kind of great feat, you will be feeling that you have arrived. Verse 22. He says, and the prophet came to the king of Israel and he said unto him, go, strengthen your side, thyself. He says, and mark and see what thou doest. For at the return of the year, the king of Syria will come up against thee. That sickness happened last year. If you do nothing, the devil will bring it back to your doorstep. You are in debt last year. If you do nothing, the devil will bring it back to your doorstep. Oh, you fell, you fornicated, and you think, oh, just sweep it on the carpet. If another Delilah shows up, you will still fall. Go, strengthen thyself, for the king of Assyria is coming back. So if you think I've just fought this battle, I use paracetamol, and that is all. Oh, I believe it. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. And you just pack your bag and you go, and you have not asked God, God, what must I do that this thing will not return again? Assyria, Ben-Hadad will come back. Ben-Hadad will come back. You know why? He escaped. He escaped with the horsemen. He escaped with the horsemen. Ben-Hadad will come back if you do nothing. Hallelujah. And don't think you have done anything to warrant that. Oh. Devil does not need you to do anything to warrant that provocation. You know, I said I was going to read something the other time. The knights and the kings of those days in the Western culture, if you are fighting your enemy, you don't shoot your enemy from the back. You don't strike your enemy from the back. You allow your enemy know that you want to fight. The rules of law, the unspoken rules of war. Now, if you are fighting your enemy, and you see this practicalized in the boxing ring, you see that once you box your opponent and it's on the floor, referee will not allow you to just be boxing him. He will tell you, let him stand up. That is the rule of law. But you see, the 24-hour devil will fight, sir. He doesn't wait for you to stand up. He will not even announce to you and tell you, I'm coming. The devil will show up at your doorstep when you least expect it. Unprovoked. Suddenly you have this joy and all of that. Suddenly, out of nowhere, you just seem. Where is this thing coming from? Where is this thing coming from? You need strength. You need strength. Hallelujah. Number three. Abby, number three. You need to strengthen yourself in the Lord so that you can run your race properly. You need strength. We need strength for this race. It's not 100 meters. What do they call that 100 meter? Sprint. It's not sprint we are doing here. It's marathon. Abby? It's marathon we are doing here. So if you are going for a marathon, you will not eat like every other person. You will not drink water like every other person. You will not eat every kind of food that they bring your way. People were angry. Ronaldo, they placed coke and water before him. He shifted. He knows the value of what is on his head. Believers don't know. You need strength so that you can run the race properly. You need strength so that you can run the race properly. You need strength so that you can run the race. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1, it says, wherefore see, we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight. Weight are not necessarily sin. They are your indulgences. My indulgences. He says, let us lay aside every weight and sin. And what? Sin, which does easily. See, the way I interpret it is that the devil knows you. He has a CCTV camera, which he has one stationed with you. He knows your weak points. He knows when to strike. He knows that when you come to church, in the midst of brethren like this, he cannot get you. He's waiting for you when you go back home, when you are alone, to strike. He has calculated, he knows, he's been taking data. He has historical data about you. So what do you need? You need strength. Hallelujah. I'm running number four, right? Strengthen yourself so that you can withstand the evil day. I think I've talked about that before. The evil day will come. The evil day will do what? It will come. So as much as you can do now, fast, study God's word. Be filled. Don't be that kind of Christian that they are begging to come for Bible study. They are begging you to come to church. It is for your own benefit. Hallelujah. It is for your own benefit. It is for you to gain stamina. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13. Ephesians 6, 13. I won't read this one. Lastly, you need strength so that you can strengthen others. Huh? You need what? You need strength so that you can strengthen others. Romans chapter 15 and verse 1. Romans 15 and verse 1. Romans 15 and verse 1. My time is up. I see I have about 2 pages here, but let me just stop. Romans 15 and verse 1. We'll close there. It says, when then that are strong ought to bear the what? The infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Yoruba will tell you. I don't know how to interpret this. When fire they burn you and they burn your child, the first thing you do is you first quench the one on you before you quench your... Hallelujah. Do you understand that proverb? When fire is burning you and it's burning your child, you personally need strength. You need first to quench your own. So we need strength to help one another. If I don't have enough strength, I won't be able to help you. And you see, we must move our mentality from this, God set me on fire, God set me on fire. Your prayer point is that I want to be able to set other men on fire. It's a level. It's not that you are always coming. The devil is just boxing you and making you waste time. You are always coming. Father, forgive me. Your prayer point, your prayer every day is, Father, forgive me. Father, forgive me. Move to that level and say, I want to speak and bring men to Christ. It's a level. I said it's a level. It's a level. So we must get to that point that you are not the one that they are always saying, let's go and check on Sister Rolake. She's weak. She can't study. She can't pray. She can't do this. She can't do that. Be a man of strength also. We need strength. Hallelujah. Let's be on our feet. Let's be on our feet. What I said earlier is that I see that there's a renewal of strength in this place this morning. There's a renewal of strength this morning. So I want you to open your mouth and speak with God this morning. I want you to open your mouth and speak with Father this morning. It says, strengthen you, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That strength is not coming from you. It's not human generated. This is spirit generated strength we are talking about here. That when you are faced face to face with lie, you will choose to say, no, I will speak the truth. Strength of character. Say, Lord, guard me again with strength this morning. He says, when you fail in the day of adversity, NLT says your strength is too little. Can you confess and say, Lord, I know that I have little strength. Strengthen me this morning. Strengthen me this morning. Strengthen me this morning. Strengthen me this morning. God wants to use that your pain to minister to other people. Strengthen, but you need strength at this moment. You need strength at this moment. Say, Father, strengthen me. Strengthen me. He says, to them that has no mind, he increases strength. To them that has no mind, he gives them strength.
Father, I ask that you strengthen me this morning. Strengthen me this morning. Increase my strength. Increase my strength. Increase my hunger for the word. Increase my hunger for the word. The word of God is our meat. The word of God is our milk. The word of God gives strength. Increase my appetite for the word. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, that desire the sincere milk of the word of God that you may grow thereby. When you grow, you become stronger. As you grow, you become stronger. Lord, increase my strength. Increase my strength this morning. Increase my strength. Yes. Yes, strength to stand fast. Strength to be unmovable and unshakable. Strength to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. Yes. That I am not going to be the one that will be ever